This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
In the Lilith Fair.
Well, like
I
who?
Would
because
say,
I wouldn't have thought McLaughlin would be on the list because of the Lilith Fair. Where's Fiona Apple?
Right.
Where's Meredith Brooks? Where's Alanis Morissette, the angriest woman of all?
I don't like Alanis Morissette.
It doesn't have a reason. I hate Alanis Morissette. Well, I thought if you possessed a double X chromosome, you sort of had to like Alanis Morissette.
Class is in.
This is Rock School, and we're could be our last show, Chad.
That's right.
Because we're negotiating our contracts here. Multi-million dollar contract negotiations on here the players and the union.
We will lock this baby out.
That's right, we
midnight
are.
Midnight Thursday.
I'm concerned about the NFL thing, Chad. I don't know whether I should be on the side of the millionaires or the billionaires. The millionaires can play so very well.
Right.
But the billionaires, they're so cute. Mm-hmm. They really are. They're cute and cuddly. You just squeeze them until they
poop. It's a tough call.
Yeah, they are. You know, I've often said to myself, if we just had a woman in the studio, things would not be so testosterone driven here.
I have never heard you say
just,
that.
I've
you
never
must have
said
truly
that before.
Said it to yourself.
I've never said it before, actually, but I'm going to say it today. Chad, if we just had a woman in the studio, things would not be so testosterone driven here. If we just...
Ah! You're right there.
There she is. It's a Beth West.
Hello.
Beth West.
Thank you so much for having
Hi,
me
Beth.
Back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Those of you who are listeners to the radio station know who Beth West is. She works in the library here on the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University. So Beth is the one that says, shut up, to as many children as humanly possible.
Yeah.
You
oh,
were
yeah.
here during Band Book Week,
yes.
Month,
Band Books
hour,
Week. It was last September.
General mm-hmm. space and time.
Now, apparently we weren't offensive enough
no,
during
so
Band
you've,
Book
you've,
Week,
right.
and she came back.
Right.
Come back for another film.
Right.
Now, you've already been through Mardi Gras, so there's nothing we could probably yell, say, scream, or throw at you that
no,
would offend you.
Not a single thing. I think that I've seen every possible offensive thing in the last week that you could even think of.
Well,
so
superb. We'll give it a shot.
Try it. You could try.
And that was just in the
library. I would encourage try it. Right. That was before we even left for Mardi Gras.
Now, you contacted me after one of the shows and said, liked that show, but I have another show topic. And I said, okay, send me a playlist, because this is what normally puts people off. I say to them, send me a playlist.
And they say, oh, never mind.
Do work?
I have to
no.
do work.
Well, you send a playlist. Tell us what we're talking about today. What is this playlist all about?
Well, this is about the Riot Girl movement of the early 1990s. And you have to say girl
yeah,
like
it.
That because it's G-R-R-R-L.
Three R's.
Huh?
Right. Yes. So not technically a word, but it's supposed to evoke the anger and...
Oh, because it has girl.
Girl.
And it, oh, what guys came up with that?
Actually, I have her name here.
What's her name?
Jen Smith.
Oh, great. So
yeah,
I just
Jen
cheesed
Smith.
Off Jen Smith.
Yeah, she was very upset. So girl.
I mean, the... That is a subgenre of kind of an alternative music explosion that happened in the early 1990s that we're all familiar with, the Seattle scene and grunge and all that stuff.
The Angry Girl movement.
The
yeah.
Angry
yeah.
Girl movement.
All right.
Some of the, and, but generally, there were just a lot of female-driven rock bands
mm-hmm.
in the early 1990s.
Yeah, man.
And so some of them fall under that Riot Girl moniker, and some of them, if you know, we have any hardcore Riot Girl fans out there, they'll just roll over thinking that some of these people have been kind of labeled as such, but no. So some of the people I'd like to play today are fit under the Riot Girl, and some of them are more pop and more popular.
Ooh, can I take a guess at somebody who's probably on that list?
Yes.
Who's that?
Hole.
Yeah. But
yeah,
she's late in the game, though.
She's later.
How late?
Right at the end, I would think.
Right.
It's mostly underground now.
Right, Riot 1995
Girl
is. Would be, she was kind of, I think that she would be considered a reaction to, like, somebody who benefited from the early Riot Girl.
Okay. Ah. Let's play one, come back and talk about it a little bit. Can we play Liz Phair? We play Liz Phair.
Yes, of course. Let's play Liz Phair.
It's from Exit in Guyville. Now, her response to Rolling Stones.
Exile on Main Street.
That's right.
Yes.
Apparently, song for song. Which one did you bring?
Oh, I brought Never Said Nothing.
All right, 1993, if I'm not mistaken.
The best double negative ever. 1993, that's right. Right in the middle.
Hate librarians. All right, play it. Wow. Rock School. That's Liz Phair, Never Said Nothing, the super double negative as put out. But do you fix people's grammar all the time? Are you a there type person?
I have 2 degrees in English.
That's annoying.
Help it. It is.
You have 2 degrees in English.
I liked
it so much you went back and got another one?
That's exactly.
You have 2 degrees in English.
Well, B-A and M-A. But
gotcha.
No, I would never correct someone's grammar just in casual conversation.
Excellent.
That
okay.
is so mean.
I are Joe Burns. He am Chad P. over there. That bother you just a little bit?
Beth West.
Get under your skin? All right. Now, Riot Girl. This movement, G-R-R-R-L, became hip in the 1990s, as you said, right along with the grunge explosion. And it's not all out of Seattle, obviously, but it became kind of hip. And I remember when this came out, Riot Girl, Tank Girl, and putting girl at the end of things. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing it. It wasn't, you know, in your face, but I remember seeing it. Explain to me why it's just not female punk, because I remember it. I remember some of the groups that were out there.
Right.
I just remember it always just being female punk.
Punk has that kind of anarchist bent, and Riot Girl is really politically minded specifically for female and feminist issues.
It wasn't for me. Is that the
right.
reason I didn't really like it?
That's probably the reason you didn't like it. They were writing songs for women and not trying to be adorable little sex pots running around on stage. They had something to say about the women's place in the world and feminism specifically.
So they weren't pushing sex at all.
Well,
I was going to say, can we play this song from the album American Thighs? I don't mean to blow a huge hole in that theory.
Well,
but
there goes the entire theory of Riot Girl. You just knocked it out of the water with one album name.
That's the one I want to play. This is Veruca Salt. Where'd they get the name Veruca Salt?
Oh, that's Will Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, absolutely.
As the bratty little girl.
Brother, I want
perfect
it now.
Name. That's a perfect
now.
Name for an angry female group.
And good song, too. Here's Seether.
Love
Rock School.
Seether is neither loose nor tight. Seether is neither.
This is Rock School as we talk about a little slice of the feminine pie called Riot Girl, subsection of music. Spell it G-R-R-R-L. Now, when you put that into Google, it's going to sort of spit back at you with those little squiggly red lines underneath.
Didn't you
but
mean
it will.
This?
You know, it will come back with something for you. We have Beth West here from the library. She's a librarian over there. That goes without saying. Now, Lilith Phair. Now, the Lilith Phair didn't come out of this, did it? That was McLaughlin's baby, right?
Right.
Sarah McLaughlin's? Angry. She's not angry.
She was, well,
a little angry.
A little angry. Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, which she put out in 1994, was pretty angry. But the Lilith Phair didn't start until 1997. It ran 97, 98, 99. So it's a little bit after this. And it was really folk-driven. And then later, there was half kind of folk, half hip-hop. So, yeah, there were a lot of angry women in the Lilith Phair.
Well, like
I
who?
Would
because
say.
I wouldn't have but, thought McLaughlin well, would be on the list because of the Lilith Phair. Where's Fiona Apple?
Right.
Where's Meredith Brooks? Where's Alanis Morissette, the angriest woman of all?
I don't like Alanis Morissette.
It doesn't matter who you don't like. You don't have
woman.
To not like them to put them on.
I totally admit it. The
how
reason
can you hate
that,
Alanis Morissette? Well, I thought if you possessed a double X chromosome, you sort of had to like Alanis
well,
Morissette.
Well, I suppose
to me,
I'm the exception to the rule because I don't like songs about Dave Coulier.
Ah, well, there you go.
She famously wrote You Ought to Know about
Who would have thought? But seriously, when you tell me Angry Girl, she's the first person that pops up in my head, and she's not on this list.
Right. Well, and she is. And so I guess making this list, I wanted people to think about anyone but...
Oh, now that's jacked up.
Because I just didn't... I think that she was part of the, I hate to say, fake...
Oh, she's fake.
Women's...
she's
like
fake man.
Angry.
Oh, she's fake angry.
Anger for the sake of being angry.
Angry for the sake of being angry.
Right. I don't think that she's fake angry. I think she's probably really angry. But she was angry about personal situations, like her relationships. Whereas the true Riot Girl band... was angry about
that makes sense.
Stance of females.
That makes sense because
society.
Otherwise it would be part of that Hell Hath No Fury show that we did with Dr. Laurent, right? But right. You remember that?
Where so you messed up my relationship, thus you must die.
Right.
I will only be happy if while you are jumping off a bridge to kill yourself, before you strike the earth, you turn around and say, you were right, and then you die.
Yeah,
right.
This is definitely not a male hater kind of thing. At all,
well, that's good, because if one thing I can't stand is an angry woman who doesn't like men.
It's not, they're not male haters at all. They're just for equality.
For equality.
For equality, yeah.
Raise the fist
all right. In the air.
Who else is on there that's for equality?
How about Sleater-Kinney?
They are definitely one of the most politically minded bands.
From 1996 and the album Call the Doctor, here's I Want to Be Your Joey Ramone. Hey, me too. Rock School. I want to be your Joey Ramone. That's Sleater-Kinney. Now, is that the two people's names that are in it?
No, it's an all-female group. That fluctuated from four to five members over their course there. But then, no, they were named after a road on which they practiced. They practiced in a house that was on
Sleater-Kinney Boulevard.
Sleater-Kinney, something like that,
You never heard of Sleater-Kinney Boulevard?
Rue de Sleater-Kinney. The Gap Band did the same thing. Gap actually has nothing to do with a space between two elements. G-A-N-P is an acronym formed by the three streets that the three members of the band lived on.
That's really cool.
G-A-N-P. Take that. Use that fact as if it actually is something that you had inside of your brain at some point in time. Do you know where Riot Girl came from? The actual term came from?
I'm actually not really familiar with the etymological beginnings.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Etymological beginnings of the whole thing. You know what that means?
Give me a word. Any word.
And I will pronounce it silly for a nickel. Okay. It says here, from my source, I grabbed a hold of a book on punk, which is, again, I thought Riot Girl was just, you know, girls playing punk. In 1991, a woman by the name of Jen Smith, who was in a band at the time called Bratmobile, apparently wrote a letter to a friend of hers named Allison Wolf. And she was very upset over some violence, apparently, that occurred in the nation's capital. And she wrote this letter, and inside of the letter was a line that read, "This summer's gonna be a girl riot." I guess that there's where the term apparently started. Well, Allison Wolf, who she wrote the letter to, and Molly Newman got together with a couple other people named Kathleen Hanna and Toby Vail and started a brand new magazine and called it Riot Girl. This is going to be a girl riot. So they used to call it Riot Girl. And they used the spelling of G-R-R-R-L to sort of take the of a growl to make it really, really tough. So that's where the term actually came from back in the day when you could actually start a magazine by just simply taking it down to, I guess, what would be Kinko's back then and actually hitting it. Because they're at the time, again, back in... 90s was at the end of the hair metal days when you basically could walk in with a printed piece, walk up to the Kinko table and say, look, I need 50 of these things in goldenrod, and then walk around with one of those hand staplers, gush,
right, and put it on every telephone pole you could find.
You got it. And they would do the same thing with this and just...
The small press magazines were huge.
Sure. Yeah. And that's where apparently the Riot Girl thing came from. So now you have that piece of info. Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. Population majority. Nice men.
who, by the way, don't listen to much Riot Girl music. So get us on Facebook, which is how Beth, by the way, got her topic pushed by. So if you want, you can contact us and say, I have a topic for the Rock School Radio Show. And first thing I'll say is, send me a playlist. And unlike Beth, most of you will say, nah, that pretty much ends it. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, coming out of the break on Rock School, with us in the studio, Beth West of the Library. I'm just going to start pronouncing things wrong because you said you don't
I like it.
You don't correct people in casual conversation, does you?
Certainly do
you
not.
You says you does not. So I'm just going to continue to do this. I'm Joe Burns, Chad Peace sitting right over there. Okay, we're playing Belly. Tell us about Belly, part of the Riot Girl movement.
Belly's not angry, huh?
Belly, well, they are a little
bit. They've
got to get off
they're
of this angry thing. These girls aren't angry.
They're a little bit angry, but it was, yeah, you're right. It wasn't, they weren't as angry as Tanya Donnelly's initial band, Throwing Muses. She broke off from that band, which she had started with her stepsister, and formed Belly in 1992, I believe. But yeah, the album Star that is Feed the Tree is from, they went on a U.S. tour in 1993, and they had a very famous supporting band. A band, I'm going to make y'all guess, okay? So here's some trivia.
Oh, we're doing a stump. Here we go.
Okay. Okay.
Go.
So in 1993, Belly goes on a U.S. tour. They're supported by a English band who would later become worldwide, critically acclaimed, super popular band.
Oh, English or Irish?
English.
Oh, it's not
what,
you two.
What year?
It's not you two.
This is in 1993 when they're supporting Belly.
English band.
Oh,
93.
I got it. I think so.
What is it?
Is it Radiohead?
It is Radiohead.
Oh,
Radiohead.
Oh, that's
supported Belly, of all people, on a U.S. tour in 1993.
So when you say supported, I mean they opened.
They opened for.
Wow.
They opened for Belly.
I would love to have that program ticket stub.
Yeah.
You know, Belly with opening act with Radiohead.
Right.
Wow.
And they probably made it two words to Radiohead.
In the belly. Feed the tree. Here you go. Rock School.
This old man I've talked about broke his own heart, poured it in the ground. Big red tree grew up and out, throws up its leaves.
All right, time for a short one to the bottom of the hour, talking about Riot Girl. I see you brought the Breeders.
Definitely.
And what everybody screams about with the Breeders
Cannonball
is their one
Run!
Big hit, Cannonball, of course. But you
Cannonball
didn't bring
Run.
That. You brought Hellbound.
I brought an early from their first album, Pod.
Okay, both sisters in here?
Both sisters are on, Pod, the Kim and Kelly Deal.
Okay.
Kim,
which one was with the Pixies?
Kim Deal.
The bassist,
The bassist for the Pixies, and she always did the background vocals.
Okay.
But this, she's foreground.
Now, is this just from the Riot Girl? I mean, they split and say we're going to make a Riot Girl group? Or
well, I think that Kim Deal wanted a little bit more, to be a little bit more in charge of her own group creatively.
Okay.
She wanted to be in front and center. She sings and plays lead guitar.
Any idea what her sister was doing? She wasn't in the Pixies. Just brought her along because she was her sister?
They said that initially Kelly Deal wasn't able to record the first productions for the Breeders because she couldn't get off of work. So apparently, I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't in a band.
She was in a Menchie's.
Right,
that's what it was. So just know your working days, kid.
She was working at a Kinney's, pull shoe store. And
that's right. Hey, you're either with Stride Right or you're against Stride Right. One of the two. You're the Breeders, Hellbound, Rock School.
It lives in folds of red and steamy.
All right, welcome to the bottom of the hour. There you go, Breeders and Hellbound, as we talk about Riot Girl. Let's take a quick break. My name is Joe Burns. What's your name?
Chad P.
And over here we have our sniveling little rat-faced git. Oh,
what?
Why did you say that?
Go ahead, Beth. Tell them why I said that.
Sniveling little rat-faced gits was the original name of the band, the Gits. They got it from a Monty Python movie.
Yeah, and when we come out, we're going to play the Gits. That's right.
Well, what if we were going to introduce a band called Four-Eyed Jerk Face? And I
I love four-eyed jerk face, aren't they? They're from Alabama, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they are. They're one of my favorites.
Oh, I love them.
I think they're playing Jazz Fest this year.
If I'm not mistaken, you can't even get their music on CD anymore. They're so underground.
It's time to do this.
7 Day 70 Seconds, March 14th all the way through March 20th. Chad's got Monday. Do it.
March 14th in 1981, guitarist great Eric Clapton is admitted to a hospital in Minnesota with bleeding ulcers, forcing him to cancel the remainder of his U.S. tour.
Tuesday, March 15th, 1956. The Colonel, Tom Parker, officially becomes Elvis's manager.
Wednesday, March 16th, 1991, 20 years ago, while traveling separately on tour, eight members of Reba McEntire's band are killed in a plane crash near the Mexican border in Southern California.
You always get the deaths.
I do.
March 17th, happy St. Paddy's Day. Back in 1979, DJ Bill Tinsley began his world record longest continuous radio broadcast on air until March 21st. If you lost count, that's 336 hours.
This show isn't that long, but boy, it seems like it. Go ahead.
Friday, March 18th, 1978. The Bee Gees hold the top four spots on the Billboard chart. Number four is Love is Thicker Than Water, Andy Gibb. Three is Stayin' Alive. Two is Emotion by Samantha Sang, which they produce. And one is Night Fever.
Saturday, March 19th, 1957. Elvis buys Graceland from Mrs. Ruth Brown Moore. And then Sunday, March 20th, 20 years ago in 1991, tragedy strikes Eric Clapton when his four-year-old son Connor falls to his death from the 53rd floor apartment in New York City.
I tell you, he gets all the obituaries.
I do, and now we're going into the gits. We're going to talk about Mia Zapata.
Right, it's a very tragic story.
Tell me what happened to Mia Zapata.
Mia Zapata, the lead singer of the Gits in 1993, was brutally raped and murdered outside when she was walking home from a bar. I think you said she's part of the 27 Club.
She is.
She is part of the 27. I didn't realize she was 27.
Kurt Cobain, who was also part of the 27 Club, actually did a benefit concert for her and I guess the remainder of her band immediately following it because they were, again, this was so aligned with grunge, this Riot Girl movement for a short
while. Seattle-based. The Gits were Seattle-based. Sure. When she died, they had absolutely no idea who killed her. They investigated family and friends, of course. You always go with the people who are surrounding because rarely is it a stranger. It was even on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries in 1996.
How'd they get him?
Eventually, they actually had taken a saliva sample from a bite that she had received while she was being attacked and saved it. And in 2003, a man was arrested in Florida for burglary. They entered his DNA into a database, and there was a hit. And it turns out that this man, Jesus Mesquia, I think that's how you pronounce the last name, was her killer. He was just randomly as a fisherman in Seattle. But, you know, technology. Years later, they got him, and he was sentenced to 36 years in prison.
How about that? Just because somebody had the wherewithal to hang on to a piece of DNA.
Yes, a piece of saliva DNA. They kept it in a cryogenic lab for that long.
Smart. Terrible that it happened, but smart.
They eventually got him.
Here are the Gits. Cut my skin. It makes me human. As we do Riot Girl. Rock School. School as we finish up playing the Gits there. I'm looking at this playlist that you gave to us, Beth West from the library, as we talk about the Riot Girl.
How are you going to refer to her for the rest of the show?
Beth West.
Hey, Beth West from the library.
That's Beth West from the library right over there. That's right. How she signs all legal documents.
It is. I've had my name legally changed.
Beth West of the library.
She got a stamp.
Look, Bjork, the Cranberries, Elastica, they're not American, are they?
No, they aren't.
Else in here is not American?
They're technically not part of the PJ Harvey.
PJ Harvey.
He's not American.
Where is PJ Harvey from?
She's English.
Okay, I thought this was an American movement.
You never said that.
It was. Yes, Riot Girl as a very it was a small movement and it was American movement, but it was felt internationally. It really spread.
It was felt internationally.
And I think that probably there was kind of a similar female powered movement going on, you know, in other countries as well.
Well, did Bjork and the Cranberries even know the term Riot Girl?
They may not have. I think that really the early 1990s were just kind of this time where the women who grew up, were born and grew up after feminism had really started, were kind of coming into their own. And so it was just, it was like a time across the world where everybody just was able to united in anger, to benefit from the feminist movements of the late 60s, early 70s. If you think about the ages of all of the female artists on this list, they are all kind of the same. So yeah, it was definitely happening across the pond as well, and even in Iceland.
Or Ireland.
Scotland with Shirley Manson, or, you know.
Let's play garbage. Yeah, I love garbage, because you
me
know
too.
Why? I'm only happy when it rains, man. Rock school. Rock School, talking about Ride Girl for the remainder of the hour. Got about 15 minutes left.
Garbage. I love garbage.
So do I. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read a book all about Riot Girl? Coming up after the break, our good friend here, what is it, Beth West of the Library?
Beth West of the Library.
Almost sounds like you should be wearing a cape. She will tell us about a band and one of the members of the band who had everything go wrong and some things go right in one fell swoop, and how you can read her accounting of Riot Girls. Hello, WBSD, Burlington, Wisconsin. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hola, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. Thank you so much for being part of the Rock School Radio Network.
Back in a minute, and we're going to throw muses all over the place, man. All right, Elizabeth. Just changing up the name a little bit.
That's
there.
That's my name.
Yes, and you can call me Joseph for the remainder of the hour,
right,
if you'd really like.
Very formal.
Let's talk about Counting Backwards, a song by Throwing Muses, one of the earliest here in the Riot Girl run. And you say there's a book that you can get your hands on if you
want
to learn more about this.
Throwing Muses was actually the band that Tanya Donnelly was in. We played Belly earlier. We kind of went, you know, out of sync, but that's fine. So Tanya Donnelly started Throwing Muses with her stepsister, Kristen Hirsch. And when they were getting to be famous, about, you know, mid-1980s, they were very young. They're about 19 or so. And in 1 year, Kristen Hirsch, they were signed to a major label. She found out that she was bipolar, and she got pregnant.
Wow.
All in
what?
1 year.
Yeah.
And she wrote a memoir about that year, that crazy year. It's called Rat Girl, and it's written really well. It's an excellent book. I would recommend it.
How old was she when she wrote it?
This just came out about a year or two ago.
Oh, so we're 20 years out.
Right. Yeah, this is a... She's had quite a lot of time to reflect on that one seminal year.
Wow. And she talks about all the bands that were around her, I assume. So you get a good look at how this whole thing got up and got started and got underway.
The family dynamic of these two women who kind of almost formed this female-driven rock movement on their own.
Super. Here you go. Throwing Muses, called Counting Backwards, right here at Rock School. All right, time for a couple more songs here on Rock School before we wrap things up here. Now, this Riot Girl thing, was this known by the people who were the females who came up through the punk movement, like Chrissy Hynde and Patti Smith and all of that? Did they embrace it? Did they say, "Yeah, this is the great thing. This is an extension of us"?
I think that it was kind of such a small little blip of a genre that they probably didn't even recognize that it was happening until after it already been extinguished almost. Maybe they can look back now and see their influence over these women. But
it kind of took place, and then they looked back and went,
there definitely wasn't any like sit-ins on MTV Unplugged or anything
bra
like
burnings
that at
or anything.
The time.
Do you think this was something that was happening at the time that they understood was Riot Girl? Was this something that was laid over it after it occurred?
I think it was laid over it after it occurred. I think that people looked back and saw this explosion of female-driven rock and kind of generally applied the term Riot Girl to it. I mean, really, it should only be that very, you know, early 1990s and those women who were politically and punk minded, but it kind of gets, you know, like everything else, like the term alternative and all of that.
Yeah, where does it stop? Where does it start?
Yeah, where does it, it's the same kind of thing. So I think, yeah, kind of looking back, it's broadened.
Tell me about Elastica.
Elastica is an English band. They are formed from two members who were in Suede, which was, they were huge in England. It was a, one of the Brit pop bands of the very early 90s. They kind of formed in the, Elastica kind of formed in the mid-1990s. And they really only put out one album. They put out another album later in 2005. But they put out a self-titled album in 1995. And the major hit from that was Connection. But mm-hmm. then they ran into trouble because they had always said that they were heavily influenced by the band, the punk band Wire,
right.
who were also an English band. But apparently they were a little too influenced by them because they were sued for plagiarism.
Oh, they caught them.
The opening sequence of Connection. Now, they've settled out of court, so the, we can't say that they plagiarized technically.
Yes, we can.
But
yes, we can. Of course, if you settle out of court, you admitted
you
guilt.
Kind of
you just didn't
guilt.
Get a conviction.
Yeah, you're
it's
right,
one thing
you're
to
right.
cite someone as influence. It's another thing to downright rip them off.
I don't believe that Elastica plagiarized because I love this song so much, and I love the video where Justine Frischmann snarls into the camera.
Have you listened to it? Have you listened to the Wire song?
Have you listened to them back to back?
I actually haven't. I'm going to. I'm going to YouTube it.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's
right
do
after
that.
This.
Let's look into it.
Here's Elastica on Rock School. Last break on Rock School, and I, you know, I'm not following you here. I don't think this group fits, but explain it to me. No
well,
doubt.
Well, they don't really fit, but I included No Doubts, Just a Girl, because it was
because
kind
I
of
like
the
them.
End of this. That's not true. I mean, they're not my favorite, but yeah, if you think about how this is kind of the Riot Girl era that it got very popularized.
But and they're ska. They're like third
funny.
Generation ska.
Yeah, but
funny.
It's all
why
the,
is Celine in here? Because I like her.
No, but it's all the kind of girl power, but a very genuine way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That she's girl power
I'm not
all the
saying
way.
That she is Riot Girl. Like, okay. Savani is Riot Girl
yeah,
at all.
Gwen is girl power
but
all the
she's
way.
She's girl power before the Spice Girls destroyed girl power.
Okay.
But if you remember how toned she was, it's true. I see that as the end. She was all toned and athletic and, you know, this was before she got really super feminine.
Uh-huh.
And
she was
this
hella
song
cool.
is overtly just about, like, trying to be a girl
mm-hmm.
in the world.
I love
How do I argue with that?
You can't.
I can't argue
you
with
can't
that.
You can't argue with Beth West
very,
of the library.
It's very sporty. All right, we're going to wrap it up with No Doubt. I'm still not sure that it fits, but what's your name, kiddo?
Chad P.
I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Beth West.
Of the library.
Of the library.
Of the library. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks. Loved it. All right, come up with another one, but give us a little time because it hurts our feelings. We'll be back next week with another show for you, and that does it up. Here we go. It's Just a Girl. No Doubt. Class is dismissed.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed and it's not.